This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin this week. This week I'm here every week. But there is somebody missing this week, as my sister is on vacation, Mary. And so we went to our deep bench of potential co-hosts, and we got our younger brother, Sean, the Oz, the great and powerful Oz. He's filling in this week, so welcome. How are you doing?
So far so good this week.
Yeah.
Excited to be part of the cast, long time listener, first time.
You've listened to all the episodes, right, so you know how we do things?
Yes.
You kind of get the vibe?
I'm up to date on everything. I listen religiously to my brother and sister and their projects.
So, I mean, I should tell everybody, you are kind of the reason I got, well, not the reason I got into podcasts, but the reason I thought I could do it is because we used to listen to Pat McAfee all the time.
That's right. You still
listen to McAfee?
I do every now and then, not as much as I used to, but yeah.
I see him doing the Thursday night games on ESPN, it's fucking hilarious.
It is, he's great.
Whoa, look at this guy, Cuzzo! He's like all excited.
It's amazing how in like 2 years he went from, well, 3 years, he went from a retired kicker to now on ESPN. Like,
he's at WWF.
Different platforms.
He's doing wrestling.
Yep, he's in wrestling. He's going to do the XFL this year. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be XFL. I really hope they bring Jesse Ventura back for that. Well, let me tell you something, Pat McAfee. Where's Rusty Tillman, that piece of shit?
Oh, we got Matt McGloin in there.
I know. He's starting for the Guardians.
Yeah, Scranton tie-in.
Landry Jones. Go Renegade. You're a Roughnecks guy, right?
I am a Roughneck.
I'm a Dallas Renegades. That's my team. I picked them. However, we are here to cover The Office. And last week, Mary and I covered episodes 15 and 16 of season 3, which was, goddamn, I forget. I should look through my notes, but I'm too lazy right now. However, because I don't have my notes and Mary's not here, we're not going to recap those this week. So we're going to have, Oz is going to take away the first episode, which is episode 17, Cocktail Party.
Now, guys, please bear with me. I'm not used to this public speaking, yeah, you may say.
He's going to stumble over his words.
I will.
It's going to be gross. It's going to be ugly at first, I think.
I'm a little nervous. You know, the hundreds of people that this podcast reaches out to.
You're being very kind today. I like that.
So, yes. First episode, what is it, episode 17?
17 of season 3, Cocktail Party.
Cocktail Party. By the name, it sounds fun,
it
sounds
does.
Exciting.
Sounds like we're going to get alcohol involved, which is always good.
Yes. Now, just a little background. I do also watch The Office. I've watched it in full about twice.
Not as religious as Mary and our
other brother.
Yeah.
But I do know what's going on. I'm in my like third rewatch now, and just so happens to sync up with you guys.
I was going
to
ask you if you're doing along with the show.
Pretty much, yeah. So, like, right now, I was, like, two episodes behind. I was on 15 and 16.
So Ben Franklin?
Yes. Oh, yeah, there we go. It was Ben Franklin.
Oh, was it Ben Franklin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and now, so I had to skip ahead a little bit to watch these ones, but it's whatever.
Oh, I know the episodes now. Phyllis's Wedding.
Yes.
And then it was, is the episode I covered. Oops. I don't remember what the second episode was. I remember, oh, Business School, when Michael spoke at Ryan's Business School.
Okay.
So the first one was Phyllis's Wedding. Michael tried to be friends, or like do everything perfect for Phyllis. Was a typical sabotaging Michael, like trying to be nice. He fucked up. And Pam leaves with Roy. They're going to get back together and whatnot. And then Business School, Ryan makes Michael look like a jerk in front of his business class. And then, yeah.
Oh, Michael does Michael very well.
He does. He do him, or whatever the kids say.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Anyway, let's get to Cocktail Party. Okay. Take it away, dude.
So, cold open starts with Michael and Dwight in his office, and Dwight is tying him into a restraining jacket. Right?
A straight jacket.
Straight jacket, yeah. Yes. And Michael is telling you how he went to magic camp, and how he went with a lot of kids after school, and that magic isn't just for children. It's for anyone with hopes and dreams. And you kind of get this weird feel, and Michael asks, you know, is it secure? And Dwight pulls the harness down by his junk, and Michael just, like, freaks out. He's like, ah, hey, okay, yeah. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, well, he's trying to do, like, a Harry Houdini thing, because there's chains around
yeah,
him.
Well, yeah, he goes, get the chains. So, mm-hmm. So they pop out in the office, and Michael's there. He's talking a little funny, if you notice,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the chains around him, and he's telling everyone, I'm going to escape with magic. And they start asking him, like, Jim and Pam start kind of poking at him, like, oh, you really think you can do it? You sure you can do this? So Michael starts just vigorously shaking yeah. and turns around, looks at the camera, and he had a key in his mouth.
Under his tongue.
Yeah. That he was going to use to unlock the chains. Unfortunately for him, though, he drops the key, and Jim puts his foot over it.
Yeah, Jim covers it like an asshole.
Yeah, and so Michael's just kind of looking around like, what now? And they're like, is everything okay, Michael? He goes, yes, I'm going to escape with magic. So then the next thing you see is Michael going into his office, closing the door on his back with his feet.
Yeah, he shuts the shades.
He shuts the shades, and he's just rolling around on the ground in his office. And the intro hits.
Yes.
Good
cold open.
It was. It got some good laughs.
Mm-hmm.
So episode starts with...
Mike and Dwight are in the office. They're, like, getting ready for
Well, yeah, they come out of the office, and they're going to the cocktail party that Dave Wallace is throwing for all the management in mm-hmm. Dunder Mifflin.
And they're dressed... I kind of wrote down ketchup and mustard. Michael's yes. wearing this red shirt with a red tie, and Dwight's wearing his usual, like, mustard-colored
yes,
shirt.
Yes, yes. And they're getting ready to go, and Mike goes up to Pam and goes, Pam, how's my breath smell? And she just refuses. And Dwight goes, Michael, I will! And he gets down, and Michael just breathes
like
into his... Yeah, like... And Dwight looks so happy to do it. Like,
yes.
And he goes... Good, not great. So, he's very serious about it. So, they're going to the party, and Jan calls Michael.
Yeah, they're in the car.
Michael says that it's the first time that it's their coming out party.
As a couple.
As a couple, yes. So, they're in the car, and Jan calls, and you notice her ringtone?
Well, Mike's ringtone was My Humps.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just for her or if that's...
No, that's every episode that his phone goes off, it's My Humps.
Okay.
Well, except for in season one, I think it was. He had Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega.
Okay, I didn't know if that was, you know, a special ringtone for his girlfriend.
No.
So he answers it. He is on speaker, and Jan's saying, you know, let's blow this party off. Let's, you know, there's no point. Let's go to a motel and have sex.
Sex!
And Mike's just like, he doesn't know what to say, and she goes, am I on speaker? And Dwight just goes, hi, Jim! Just, you know, like, completely out of it, not thinking. Like, yeah. if you were in that situation, well, you'd be silent.
I don't know. Well... I would to a point, but if it's going to get even worse, I'd want that person to know that I'm there, kind of.
I guess, but... So, Mike's trying to turn the phone off speaker. Incompetence.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. He's trying to do everything.
He can't do it right. And she's still on speaker.
Yeah, she's still on speaker, and she's saying more things about just dirty dirtiness. And
dirtiness.
And she just goes... Am I still on speaker? And Mike doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, are the cameras there? And he just goes, and she hangs up.
Because maybe.
Yeah. And she's just annoyed with him from the start.
Yeah.
And no one's shocked.
Gets better.
So they go back to the office, and Pam and Roy are at the reception desk.
Just like Jim used to be all the time.
Yeah, just hanging out, talking, chit-chatting.
Yep.
And Pam invites Roy to Poor Richard's, yeah. which is a bar in Scranton.
Have you been there?
I have not, but I saw a picture of it the other
killer
day.
Karaoke.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, on the weekends. I'll tell you, I've been there a time or two.
I will say, the picture that I saw is a very, very real representation of what they showed.
Oh, what
in
they
the
showed,
episode.
Yeah, what they showed is very good
yes,
for, yeah.
like, it is spot on for...
It's in a bowling alley. Like, let's just say it's in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
So.
Is that Southside?
Yeah. Yes, Southside Scranton.
I was just bowling there yesterday.
Southside Scranton.
Oh, maybe I've been in there, but I've never drank there.
Yeah.
I stopped by for a visit once. So she invites them to Poor Richard, since Mike left early. They don't have to be there. They have no supervision. Jim's leaving. Him and Karen are going to the party well.
Forgot about that.
So number one, two, and three. Presumably three, if Dwight really is.
And number four and Andy is an anger manager.
Yeah, so there's no one. I guess Stanley would be senior.
Senior member.
Yeah. So everyone knows Stanley wants to get out of work as soon as possible. But, so they invite them. Roy says he kind of wants to go hang out with his brother. They ruined the jet skis. Or are they purchasing
them? They sold them. He took a bath on them, so he sold them.
He sold
but he didn't make what he paid for.
So he said, you know, we kind of want to go out and get drunk. And Pam's reaction was, we're going to a bar. Like, you can come get drunk at the bar.
Mm.
And she says, if you want to be my boyfriend, you have to do boyfriend things with me.
And he smiles.
Which resonates. Like...
Yeah. It resonates, yeah.
Because how stupid could he be that he really doesn't understand
Well, no, I think he just doesn't want to do stuff, like, with the office people.
You think that's what
it is? Yeah, he'd rather hang... Come on, be honest. Would you rather hang out with your girlfriend's co-workers or come watch some 1998 WWF with me and our brother?
That's a tough one.
He's not... No.
As long as it's not WCW. So Roy agrees to go. He looks at it as like, okay, this is my chance. She's giving me a second chance. And... So Pam tells him that...
She does
a talking head where she tells them she's going to be more aggressive. She's not going to sit back and take anything.
Assertive. There's a difference between aggressive.
I think they're synonyms.
Okay, maybe. But, well, in a way. But she wants to get, you know, if she wants something, she's going to get
it. Yeah. She's not going to sit back. She doesn't want to be called Pammy anymore.
Yeah,
she calls herself.
Yeah.
And then corrects and says, wait, I don't want to be called that anymore.
Pammy.
Dwight arrive at the Wallace house,
which they've been to before.
Yes, while they were doing staking like a holdout or whatever out. It is. And while they get there really early, if you know, it's like midday.
Yeah.
They're having a cocktail party, so you presume it probably starts after work.
Yeah,
you know?
In the evening.
CEO or CFO of a company, probably like 6-7 o'clock. They look like they're there around midday, and. So the servants, as
the
Dwight
caterers,
called them.
Yeah.
No, did you notice?
Dwight he calls them servants,
he goes,
yes.
You're wearing the same thing as the servants.
They're
so
all,
Mike has a red shirt and red tie, and so do these servers that are setting up the party.
Servants.
Yeah, but Dwight calls them servants, which
it
just tells you so
it's
much
very
about
Dwight.
Dwight.
Very
yes.
Dwight.
And so Mike goes, switch shirts with me. And Dwight's like, I don't think yours is going to fit me. He goes, switch shirts with me. So Dwight starts just ripping his shirt off. While
undershirt as well.
Yeah. While Michael is, you know, unbuttoning it, taking the cufflinks off. And Dwight's just there shirtless, no undershirt. And he's just handing it to Mike. And Mike just looks so awkward.
Dwight's doughy.
Yes, Dwight is very doughy. So they go back to Poor Richard's, which... Again, I feel like it's midday, and they're
it's early.
At a bar.
It's early.
I mean, they did say they're going for the happy hour, so, you know, it might be like 2
4.
O'clock.
No, 4 or 5.
4?
Yeah, 5.
I don't know. Seems really early, time-wise. But, so they arrive at Poor Richard's. Everyone's there. You notice how unhappy everyone looks?
Stanley looks miserable, yeah.
Angela's the first one to walk in, and she just... I mean, I know.
That's
Angela
a dirty,
always has that face.
That's
but,
a dirty, disgusting place.
Yes, it is. But everyone just looks unhappy. So Pam says she sees a duck in the claw machine. She goes, look how cute that duck is. Stanley's just like, yeah, whatever. And Toby, like, he has, like, a light bulb right above his head.
Toby.
So Toby just immediately starts playing the claw machine.
He's going to win that duck.
Yes, he wants to win that duck for Pam. So they go back to the party. Mike and Dwight arrive to the look of the surprise of Mrs. Wallace, who is in a bathrobe
yeah,
with
she has
a towel
on
her hair.
Yeah.
And you could tell that they're just early. They messed up.
Mike has a tote or a Tupperware container of potato salad.
Potato salad.
He doesn't realize that the party's catered. I love that.
No,
that it's like a summer cookout at your friend's house. He's bringing potato salad.
So Mike does a talking head where he says, it's polite to arrive early. And smart. Only good friends arrive early. So exto facto, I'll be a good friend because I'm early. This is the complete opposite of what you want to do.
Just show up on time.
Well, if anything, you want to show up a little late. You don't want it to be like, oh, I can't wait to go. You know, it's a casual
work
thing.
You don't
want to
be eager? It's not casual. Everybody's wearing suits.
I think it... Well, I think it is. I had to go to a cocktail party recently for one of my classes. I'm in college still, guys.
But he's in business school, just like Ryan.
Let's not go that far. But so, like, I had to go to a cocktail party.
What'd you wear?
Part of my class.
Did you
wear
your
button-down shirt with khakis, no tie.
Tuck it in?
Yeah, tucked in.
Pop the collar?
Yeah, I didn't have it buttoned all the way. I had dress shoes on. I looked very professional.
Wear a blazer?
Some no, I didn't have one. I came here to try some on from some people that have given us blazers, and none of them fit. I couldn't button them, so I'm like, I might as well not. But, so, I don't know. I feel, you know, I was told to act very casual, not to be too eager about it. You know, you go...
Were these, like, were you meeting, like, professional, like, prospective employers and stuff?
It was a fundraiser for a farm, Dennis Farms, up in Susquehanna County.
North of Scranton, everybody.
Yes, which is a old underground railroad house.
Well, that's actually pretty cool. So it's like a historical thing.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing. They're raising money to keep up with the property because it is a historical property.
But so did you enjoy your cocktail party?
I did. I did get to meet some potential employers.
Yeah, did you
shake
woo
some
them?
Hands.
Did you woo them?
I think I did, actually.
I imagine you being like a politician, just go, hey, what's going on? I'm Sean. Nice to meet you. Oh, man, I love that tie.
Let's just say I was standing by myself because there's like a class of eight of us, and I don't know anyone in it, and I don't really anticipate knowing anyone in
you
it.
You don't want to?
We're all from different majors. It's not like anyone's in the same major.
Oh, I thought they were all like
No. So they're not like, I'm the only business slash accounting major there. Everyone else is like political science or IT. So I'm just kind of standing there biding my time, and two ladies came up to me and they're like, oh, you look lonely. So they started talking to me.
It's always good when a woman says that to you.
But they were advertisers for the company that promotes and markets the farm.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
So I got, you know, I got my name in there. I met the owner of it. I shook his hand, told him what I'm planning on doing in the future.
Go Colts.
Okay, back to the episode.
Yes.
Where are we?
Mike gave her potato
salad.
Yeah,
so he says it's friendly to arrive early. So yeah. Mike gives her the potato salad that she just puts on the table.
On
because
a platter.
She's not expecting it. No one's really supposed to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And tells the camera it's been sitting in his car all day. Which, if you know anything about potato salad...
It's gross.
Mayonnaise.
I don't eat that shit.
I don't eat
potato, egg salad. That stuff's all gross.
No, that stuff is... That's disgusting. So back to poor Richards. Pam asks Kevin about his wedding plans and his wedding date. And he says, yeah, you know, we set a date. And Kelly was, you know, kind of continuing the conversation, ask when. And Kevin just kind of freaks out. He's like, I'd rather not say. I don't want to talk about it.
It's complicated.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh.
It's weird.
Okay, whatever. So Roy and his brother show up.
Kenny,
yes.
Who we saw last week at the art show.
Yes. So they show up, and Pam says, sorry about the jet skis. And he just gets so sad, like...
Yeah, he just stares off in the distance.
And so Roy's like, let's go get some beers. We're going to buy a round for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the party. Very... I don't know if it's as bad as it usually is, but it is going back and forth kind of quickly, you know, just like a spurt here.
Oh, yeah.
Spurt here. I know it's normal,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine because the thing is, you have Dwight who is, like, being weird, like, telling the people about the fecal matter in the shrimp.
I was getting that.
Which, I want to say, our father owned a restaurant when we were... Well, you were...
No, I wasn't even born.
Yeah. I'm much older than you.
Yeah.
So, when I was growing up, I'd go over there on, like, Friday nights and peel shrimp and, like, devein them and everything, take that out. That is the most thankless job in the world.
But, no, watching this analytically now...
Are you now?
Well, for this, I did. Yeah. I sat down. I took notes like I've watched my older brother do before. And you notice it a little bit more. You don't notice the switching from scene to scene as much when you're just casually watching it.
Yeah, but when you actually have to take notes
and
like, pay attention.
Yeah, when you're focused in on it and trying to get every little detail, it's like, oh, wow, they go back and forth a lot.
Which is good in a way because it keeps you on your toes. So you don't get bored with a scene too often in this show.
True. So, back to the party, and Dwight tells the lady that's eating the shrimp right next to him that top vein on the top is their feces. And the lady just like, why'd you have to tell me that? Like, she just has a look of disgust. So Jan and Michael meet outside, And did you hear what he asked? Oh, did you bring dip?
Yeah.
And she just, like, so, like, just casually, like, I'm sure it's catered. And Mike's just like, so, hands him a form about their relationship. Jan hands Michael a
from
form.
From HR.
Yes, from HR. And Mike clearly doesn't understand what the form really means. He knows it's about their relationship, but he thinks it's about their love.
It's more a love
so
contract.
Than a disclosure.
Yes.
And Mike,
he wants to frame it.
he says, I'm going to frame mine. You want me to frame yours, yeah. too?
It signifies their love. And then Jan says, well, I never said I love you.
Yep.
And Michael says, this contract says it all.
Yeah, Mike doesn't care. He's just like, this contract says you love me. You don't need to, which clearly it doesn't. But Jan's does a talking head.
This is awesome. This is great.
And she talks about the risk of becoming normal and having a productive life, having kids and a family, if, you know, she indulges in her behaviors. But then she talks about the downsides, and she says, dating Mike and collapse into myself like a dying star. Which, if anyone knows anything, a dying star is the most destructive force in the universe.
Yes.
So she's just like, I could be normal. Or I could just completely implode, go crazy, and that's it for me.
Dating Michael Scott publicly.
Yes,
we'll do that.
Ups and downs of it. So Mike hands back his form, and she goes, what is this above the eye? And he goes, a heart. He dotted his eye with a heart. What a romantic. Yeah. Jan thinks that...
Because she goes back to the talking head, and they ask her what the hardest part is, and she goes, that's what she said.
Oh, that, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, she says, why is this so hard?
Yeah.
And she goes, that's what she said. And she's just like, oh, God.
Oh,
what,
my God.
Yeah, what have I become?
It's like the time my girlfriend called somebody a jobber while she was driving. I was like, thank you.
Yes.
I never felt so in love before.
So we go back inside, and Dwight... just talking to, you know, another associate of Dunder Mifflin.
Don Porter, the Buffalo manager.
Oh.
We met him when they were all in New York with Craig and Chip.
Okay.
Not Chip.
But he asked the guy, like, oh, do you watch Battlestar Galactica? And the guy's like, no. And he just goes, you're an idiot. that's the only reason you're an idiot. You don't watch Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel, who we find out is the name of Wallace's wife,
mm-hmm.
Her and Mr. Wallace, Dave, meet with Jan and Mike. And Jan introduces Mike, and he just... comes out and says, we're lovers.
Yes.
Just, like, panics, like, we're lovers.
We have sex.
We have sex. Yep. And Wallace is just, like, confused. He doesn't know what to say. And Jan
takes him to the side to kind of explain it.
Yeah. So they go back to poor Richard's. And Toby is still playing the claw machine in the back. You could see mm-hmm. it. This is just a quick back to poor Richard.
Just to show you what's going on, Pam gets beers, realizes one isn't for her, and then, like, goes up and she's assertive and says,
yes.
This isn't for me.
I was supposed to have a light. You gave me two regulars.
Yeah. And then
so
she
the guy's
just smiles
just like, oh, whatever.
She just smiles at the camera.
But you could still see Toby in the back
yes.
doing the claw machine.
All night, baby.
Yep. So back to the party, and Mike says...
There is a meeting of people. It's like Karen, Jim, Wallace and his wife, Jan
and
Michael.
That guy,
the Don Porter.
Guy. Yeah.
Or Don... Is it Porter? I don't know. Don something.
The bigger guy that Dwight told was stupid, essentially.
And Michael wants, like, appetizers. And he goes, do you guys have bagel bites?
I'm getting there! Come on!
You're struggling.
No, I know, but, like, let me work through this. So... He asks how the merger went, and Mike says, merger went smooth like butter. And Karen says, well, out of the five that came, I'm the only one left. And Mike's just like, yeah, but you're great now. Everything's good. We're great. And just kind of like playing it off.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mess up. I didn't fire
any
people.
They all just left.
Yeah, they couldn't handle it. So Mike makes it real awkward and comes around and goes, anybody have appetizers? Are there appetizers? Which we now call appetizers.
I do.
I call
not
them,
me.
I call them appetizers. So Dwight starts asking Wallace some personal questions about the
house. They're not crazy.
No,
honestly.
Well...
He asks him what the square footage is.
It's great, because he asks what's the square footage, and he's like, oh, I think he said like 5,000 something, and mm-hmm. Dwight's like, oh, does that include the garage? And Wallace just like, I don't know. And Mike's like, that's inappropriate, Dwight. Like, why are you asking that? And Mike turns around and says, if you don't mind, how much did this house cost you? Which is so inappropriate. Oh, yeah. Just,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's just terrible of someone to ask that. So Dwight asks to be shown around, which Rachel, the wife, says, oh, I'd love to show you around. And he just goes, let's start with the banisters. And they walk away, and you're just like, what? Okay, whatever. Karen tells Jim, there's a guy over there that she used to date. Like, take a quick look. I used to date him. It didn't end well, so, like, if it gets awkward, I'm sorry. And if you notice, in the background over Jim's shoulder, you just see Dwight on the staircase, hanging from the banisters, trying to rip them, like punching them. And the wife's just like, oh my god, like, what did I get myself into? So Wallace gives Mike and Jan a scotch. They're, like, in his den, it looks like.
Yeah, he's, like,
they're away from the party.
Yeah, there's only, like, four people.
Yeah, and he gives them a scotch, and he starts telling them, you know, it's, like, a 20-year-old scotch. It was given to him by a friend.
Lee Iacocca.
Yes, which Michael then makes a bad joke about the DeLorean.
I don't even think that's a joke. I think he's honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you know what the DeLorean is.
Yeah, it's the car from Back to the Future. Yeah.
Well, it's a real car.
Well, I know that, but, like, is that the name of someone that really made it?
Iacocca worked for Chrysler.
Okay.
So, but Michael just says, to Mr. Iacocca in his failed experiment, the DeLorean.
And Michael takes a sip and...
No, he...
Oh, did
boom, like a shot, he
takes it. Yes, I guess he threw it back and he just freaks out. Do you have water, ice, sugar? And Wallace and Jan just like are like, oh, God, like he doesn't understand.
He's a child. He
really is. And it reminds me of...
it's like unfrozen caveman.
Now, I'm a huge Scrubs fan. And it reminds me of the episode JD takes a drink of Dr. Cox's scotch and he puts like the whole thing in his mouth and he just... spills it out, like, not spits it out, he just opens his mouth and it pours out because of how disgusting it is.
I like scotch.
Well, I think I've tried it once, I don't remember.
You'd remember.
I don't know. So they go back to Poor Richard's and they're playing a drinking game, Elbows Up or something like that. I'm not sure what the name is, but they're trying to find a quarter under someone's hand. And they're going down. Kevin's insistent. It's over here. It's over here. And Ryan's like, no, it's down there. So he taps all their hands. It's not under any of them. Kevin's like, oh, good thing you didn't listen to me. So Roy's sitting there. They tap one of Stanley and one of Pam's. And they each have one hand left. And Roy's just looking at Pam,
She cracks, man.
She cracks. She starts smiling. And it was under her hand. And Roy's saying, oh, you know, I know you so well. I could read you like a book. You can't keep anything from me. And Pam just has this, like, awkward look like,
I do.
I can't hide anything from you, even though we all know she does. So then in the background, Creed is just sitting at the bar and all these college kids start walking by. Creed, what's going on? The man shaking all their hands, giving a salute. And Oscar just looks confused, like,
how does he know these children? Yeah.
And Creed does a talking head where he says that he runs a fake ID business out of his car with a printer that he stole from the station.
Yeah, the sheriff.
The sheriff station. And you're just, like, getting deep insight on Creed right here.
Any way to make money.
Yes.
Any illegal methods.
Yes. So they go back to the party, and Dwight is still checking out the house with Rachel. They're upstairs. He's checking...
the smoke alarm?
He's checking the studs in the wall. These are too far apart. He opens a door. Oh, what's this? And she's like, oh, it's a guest room. One window? And she hears a phone ring, so she excuses herself, and she leaves Dwight alone, which might possibly be the worst thing she could have done. So he hits the smoke alarm, lets it go off for quite a while, and then goes, it's good! So you go back downstairs, and Jim and Karen are... real awkward as another couple leaves, they shake hands, and Karen says again, you know, I'm sorry if that guy's wife was staring at me weird, you know, they were separated for a little while and we saw each other, and
Jim
just has like that, oh god, like another one, like, how'd I not know this? At first I'm like, oh, is that a different guy, or is that the same guy she mentioned?
It was a different guy.
As we go along, I figured out what she was doing.
Yeah.
But, so, Jim's just like, ah, damn, like, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't expecting this. So they go, and Mike and Jan and Wallace are in another room. Mike grabs a candle, smells it, shoves it in Jan's face. And Jan just looks annoyed. Like, yeah. She's standing there. She's trying to be pleasant. She smells the candle. Oh, yeah, that is nice, you know. So Mike invites Wallace and his wife to Sandals, Jamaica next Christmas. Yeah. And Jan's like, I don't think they want to go to Sandals.
They have a family.
They have a family. They want to probably be with their family. And Kid's like, oh, yeah, that's right. They don't allow kids. Kids no grata, which I don't
no,
even know.
No, he says persona non grata.
Persona no grata. Okay.
Kids non grata. It sounds like a French dish.
Well, it sounds like kids aren't great. So, so how low she can limbo, Mike then talks about. He says,
you should see this gal.
Yeah, you should see this gal limbo. And
Jan, like, freaks out, grabs him by the ear almost.
Yeah,
and takes him out
like
of the room.
Like a mother and child. Like, you're misbehaving, and pulls him out of the room, throws him up against the wall, and starts making out with him.
Yeah, in the hallway.
And Mike's trying to talk while she's kissing him. Yeah. And Jan just pulls him into a bathroom, and I love this line, you know, oh, are we going in the bathroom? I thought you liked your privacy. I thought that's where you want your privacy. And it's just like, when you start living with someone, bathroom time is private time. It is nice.
That's the truth.
It is. It really is. So Jan starts to just try to have sex with Mike in the bathroom of this cocktail party. She throws herself up against the wall.
Yeah, she wants it.
Slam me against the wall, she says. And the camera is creeping in through the outside window.
Me and Mary have talked about this before. Like, I don't... It's weird.
Yeah, it is. Like, they could have just had the sound... you know, like outside the door.
Yeah,
you would have been able to hear the slam against the wall. And she said
they're
slam
wearing
me the
microphone.
Yeah,
you
they
just,
still have the mics. Like,
just show the door. Maybe people walking by with weird faces. That like, I always feel weird when they do shit like this. Like where the people are in private situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Mike keeps like he keeps telling her like this is inappropriate. Like we have to go back to the party. Mike wants
all of
Mike
a sudden the roles are reversed.
Yeah. Mike wants to be in the party, which is mind-blowing, you know. Most guys are the other way. Most women are
because,
the other
as we touched on earlier in the episode, he saw this as a couple, like, they're going to come out as a couple, and people are going to see them together. But when they're in the bathroom and she just wants sex, nobody can see them together.
Like, yes, he wants to be known as a couple where she doesn't.
Look,
really.
Guys, I begged this executive. He's pretty hot. Like, he wants people to see that. Yeah.
Yes, so, Mike just keeps going, and Jan finally snaps and just like, "What? Fine, whatever," and walks out of the bathroom, and Mike walks out of the bathroom immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to poor Richards, and congrats, Toby. He won the duck.
Yes.
He won the cute duck, and he goes and sits down with Pam and hands Pam the duck, and she's like, "Oh, Toby, where have you been? I've been looking forward to hanging out with you." And you just see all the emotion run out of Toby's face. He's just like, "Oh, you want it to be with me?
I wasted the night."
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jan. Yeah. So Pam hands him back the duck and says, "Well, don't you have a daughter you can give this to?" And Toby just deflated again, like, "Oh, you're not going to keep this duck to remember me by?"
To remember me by.
Yeah. So, so we pop back to the party, and Dwight is in
Their son's room,
just creepily in the dark, rocking in a rocking chair.
He likes the construction.
And the kid wakes up and goes like, "Who are you?" And Dwight's like, "How old is this rocking chair? What is it?" And the kid's like, "I don't know." And Dwight's like, "Well, what are you good for?" And it's like this, like, what, 7-8-year-old kid who's trying to sleep through a party that their parents are having. So they go back downstairs, and Jim notices Karen fixing Don's tie.
Yeah.
And Jim's just standing in the doorway.
His eyes are wide, like he saw a ghost,
he's like,
another one.
Yeah, like, there's number three so far.
Yeah.
So Wallace walks up, they're in the doorway, and he tells Jim how he hates these parties, how the, you know, just he has to do it because who he is. And he asked Jim to go out back and shoot hoops, which we know Jim was a former basketball player, so he sees nothing better. He's like, "Oh, I get to go shoot hoops with the CFO. Like, this is bonding," which we've known that.
Is that something that they've taught you in business school?
You gotta bond whenever you can.
Kiss ass.
Yes.
Bond your lips to his ass.
Yes. So Jim goes and tells Karen, like, "Oh, you can stay in here and have fun with all these people. I'm going outside and playing basketball with Mike Wallace." And
David
Karen,
Wallace. What? Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace, wide receiver, my bad. David Wallace. And, you know, Karen seems happy, and so she goes, Well, don't tell him that we're dating because he might still have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim just, again, he's like, another one? Have you dated everyone here? And you just see Karen get this smile and Jim realizes she's been...
She played him.
She Jimmed him, as I called it. Jim got Jimmed.
He did. I like that.
Yes, so he got played as he usually plays Dwight. Karen did it to him. And she then tells him, like, oh, no, like, you're my first. And Jim, again, is shocked, like, are you serious? And she just goes, you're too easy. And he walks out. He's happy. He's relieved in a sense. Well, yes, but he's relieved in a sense. He's like, okay, I don't have to worry about five other guys here at the party.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike goes, and he picks up the potato salad. They're in the doorway.
Yeah.
And Rachel asks someone, like, oh, did you have Mike's potato salad? And they do a talking head where Mike says, she thinks I made that. I picked it up at a supermarket. I can never make it that good. And you just like, really?
Well, he immediately then goes after that sentence, something's wrong with Jan.
Yeah, he just snaps and like, something's wrong with Jan. I don't know what to do. So they go outside. Wallace and Jim are shooting hoops. And Wallace asks about Jan and Mike. And Jim's just like, where to start?
Yeah.
And he's like, I really don't know where to start. Meanwhile, a basket falls from the roof, and you see Dwight up on the roof, kicking the chimney, like, punching it.
God knows how he got up there.
Yeah, like, and Wallace is just, like, in amazement, and Jim's like, oh, normal Dwight behavior. Yeah. Like, he just plays, like, oh, my ball, let's go. And Dwight does a talking head where he says, you know, found some termite damage and flaws in the foundation. All in all, fun cocktail party. And it's just like, that's the inner workings of Dwight. Like, I don't want to be in there and mingle with people. I want to check out this, you know, CEO or CFO's house and see if it's sturdy.
He wants to do Dwight stuff.
Yeah. So they go back to the bar, and Pam tells Roy they're sitting at the bar. And she's,
alone.
Yeah, they're sitting at the bar, and she says, like, if we're going to make it this time, there can't be any secrets with us. Which, if you notice, Roy immediately starts denying.
Ask anybody. I could have,
and I didn't. Like, I was clean. Like, I didn't do anything. And Pam, like, tells him, like, no, like, I have to tell you something. So she tells him that her and Jim kissed at casino night.
Oh, yeah.
And Roy...
Dude, the switch gets changed.
You see the switch, you know, as Christian used to say, hit the switch.
Oh, God.
And Roy just freaks out. He throws his beer at the wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the best, dude.
And his brother just immediately comes over, picks up a stool, and starts smashing it against the bar.
And they just start smashing it.
Go ham at the bar, just destroying everything.
He doesn't go, Roy, what's going on? He just comes over and just smashes it.
He just aids in the anger, and they just destroy everything.
It's my favorite sight gig on this show. It's so good.
Yeah, they're just wrecking the place. So Pam walks out. She tells them it's over, and damn right it's over, Pam.
Yeah, and she goes outside, gets in her car, and drives away.
Which, did you notice the song that was playing in the background?
Carry On My Wayward Son?
Yes, it was.
All right, yeah.
So they go back to the party, and Mike and Jan are now driving home.
Yes.
And Jan did not have fun.
It's almost... She needs a Snickers, first of all.
Yes, she seems hangry, but she seems just irritated.
Well, she even uses that as an excuse.
Well, yes.
But, like, the thing is about this scene is that, like... The stereotypical roles are reversed.
Yes,
where Michael is playing the almost feminine role.
Yes, and he has all the feelings, and I wanted this to be our night, I wanted it to be special, where Jan just tells him, like, it was more fun when it was a secret, when no one knew, when we weren't supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
And Mike starts to cry, and...
So he says he wants five different things. Oh. Did you write them down?
I wrote down three of them. Well, I remember one. Mike goes, Jan, I want a picket fence, I want the ketchup fights, I want the tickling, and I want the giggling.
Yes. The ketchup fights is my favorite.
As soon as I heard that, I'm like, yep, that's gotta mention the ketchup fights. Because you think, like, that's such a movie stereotype. Well, like, the happy family destroying the kitchen, having
the
a ketchup fight.
The first thing that I thought of was Naked Gun, the movies of when they're that stupid song, something tells me I'm into something good, and him and her are going, and they go to a hot dog stand, and they just start squirting ketchup and mustard.
Yeah. So, like, Jan, she just immediately, like, she feels bad, like, I'm sorry.
Down,
she takes it all back. I had a good time, like, I'm just hungry, I'm just, you know, typical woman, I'm just hungry, that's why I'm in a bad mood. Don't worry, Heidi doesn't listen to this, so.
Heidi! She's name dropped.
So, Mike says, I love you, where Jan just says, okay. And Dwight pops out of the back and says, "You two shouldn't break up. You guys make such a good couple." And you just see Dwight's head, like, in this dark car pop up between them. And he's just like, you can't break up. You guys are so good together. And so they go back, and last scene, Roy is sitting outside of poor Richard's bar, just angry, ready to kill someone.
Oh, yeah.
And his brother comes out, and he goes, "You know, are they going to call the cops?" And he goes, "No, I paid them off." And Roy goes, "The jet ski money?" And he goes, "All of it." Just so dramatic. "All of it." And it just ends with Roy going, "I'm going to kill Jim Halpert."
I want a t-shirt that says, "I'm going to kill Jim Halpert." Because you said you listened to the show, right?
Yes, I know you're not a fan of Jim.
Well, the thing is, and this is what I find funny about it, is that Mayor Bear never had any strong feelings against Jim or anything like that. And as the show progresses and we watch more and more of it, she's starting to turn on Jim a little. She's just like, you know, he is kind of a douchebag. It's like, yeah, he is. Like, you know, looking at it kind of critically like we are, it's like, you know, I want to kill Jim Halpert. I agree with Roy.
But that's how the episode ends.
So
and
what did you grade this one?
So I wrote down some notes. You know, you had a lot of character development with Jan, Pam, Karen, Wallace even. Yeah, you know, you got to know him a little bit better.
He's got
like
a cool side. Yeah,
he's not this professional all the time. He wants to get out. Roy and Toby.
I got a lot to say about Toby.
Toby, you always got the sense that he kind of digged Pam, but in this I think it really comes out that he spent the whole time just trying to do the small things, trying to get her that little duck that she said.
There was the one episode earlier this season, I forget what one it was. It was, when Pam was going on a date with the cartoonist.
Yeah.
And Kevin told Toby that Pam was single or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Really?"
Yeah.
And he tried like going up to her desk and talking to her.
But he just gets shy. He backs down every time.
So it's kind of fun to see the continuity where Toby's like, as Mary described last week, you didn't hear probably. She said, 10 Things I Hate About You. You ever see that movie?
Probably a while ago. Well, we have two sisters, so I'm sure I saw it at some point in my youth.
She used the one line, she got beer-flavored nipples? Because, like, the way everybody goes after Pam. And it's like, Toby is definitely getting drunk on those nipples.
Yeah, you can tell that he has this crush, and it's just, you know, bits and pieces here and there. But this episode,
he has no confidence because his wife shattered his heart. No, seriously.
Yes. But this episode, I think, was a big step, you know. It really came out like, I think
he
if
did
she
something.
Yeah, if she wasn't so focused on Roy in this episode, she probably would have realized, like, wow, you spent the whole time getting me this stupid stuffed animal that I said I liked.
And she said she wanted to hang out with
her. And that's the thing, I don't know, but she always says, like, oh, I was looking forward to hanging out, oh, I'd love to hang out with you.
He always steps on his dick.
But he always gets in the way of himself.
Yeah, he's kind of like Michael in that way, except more innocent.
Yeah, so, I mean, I liked it in the sense that it did get a lot of characters around. I did like that Angela had nothing to do. She was always sitting by herself at the bar, at a table.
Sometimes it's okay, because some of these characters could be overbearing. Like, me and Mary talked about a lot of with Andy. Andy would dominate, like, to the point where you're, like, kind of getting, like, okay, get him off my screen for a little while, you know. And Angela can be like that, because she's so severe as a character.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, taking little breaks, not, like, I'm not saying, like, skip four episodes with nothing for them, but, well, maybe in Andy's case, but, like...
Well, that's what's going on.
It's okay
right
because
now.
You let other stuff happen, because you let Roy shine, you let Toby
Roy
get his
shines,
moment.
Let me tell you.
You let Toby, you're like, Jan and Michael, Jim and Karen, like, you know, people had stuff to do, you don't need everybody to kill it in every episode.
No.
It's nice to see them featured a bit. Like, even Angela just walking into the bar and being like, this place is fucking disgusting.
Because that's the thing. You have her look of disgust when she walks in, and she wants nothing to do with these bar games.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be mingling with her co-workers outside of work other than one special
And that's something me and Mary talked about earlier on, was that, you know, it is such a big ensemble cast, and you like to see everybody involved, but... In the early episodes, they didn't take advantage of, like, sight gags and them doing things.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody needs a line, but, like, just the way they facially express disgust or something like that.
Or seeing Dwight in the background over
Jim. Yeah, Karen on the banister,
Kevin, when they go down to the warehouse and They're afraid that Roy's going to beat Jim up, and you got Kevin in the background just sweating. He's got Jim's back. Like, those are things that are so small that you might not notice on the first watch, but when you watch it, you know, a few times and you're really trying to get in there.
They really add up.
Yes, they do, and it makes the show better.
Mary realized last week during Phyllis's turned into Peyton Manning.
Greatest quarterback of all time.
Hey, won a Super Bowl for each of our teams.
We picked your teams
off. Anyway, during Phyllis's wedding, the bouquet toss. Do you anything? So Mary's watched it like 90 fucking times because she's insane. But like, so Phyllis throws the bouquet and Toby's hot date gets it. And I only saw this episode once, like 14 years ago. Mary is watching it. Ryan like swats it like a fucking volleyball away from Kelly. And that's how Toby's girl gets. And it's like little things like that. Yeah. Like I said, everybody doesn't need speaking parts or stuff like that, but little things like that add up, man. And this episode had a lot of that, whether it was Jim or Angela or Dwight or Roy's brother, just smashing shit.
Well, his look when she asked about the jet skis and he just like shuts down. Like he's so sad.
That guy's so great.
Yeah. And he comes over and he starts smashing the chairs and throwing bottles.
It's great.
He is. And Kenny.
So I want to say, because it obviously seems like we're coming to the end of Roy in the show. Roy is my favorite character on the show.
For now.
For now. But I mean, who knows? But for one big reason. It's because the character is the most human character on this show. He is not a caricature. Like, the other ones have these, like
they're
Creed is awesome.
They have one characteristic turned up to 10.
Yeah.
Which Roy has all of his characteristics at, like, 8, which is awesome.
Well-rounded. And, like, he is the one who reacts like most people would. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one who was, like, the boneheaded kind of jock guy who, you know, not misogynistic, but, like, he didn't
kind of misogynistic.
He didn't take Pam's, like, needs.
He didn't take her seriously,
He just wanted to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then he realized
he wanted to go hang out with his brother and get drunk.
Yeah. And he realized he fucked up, so he tried to change himself. But, like, as all humans, we're not perfect, and we have our flaws. And when Pam told him about Jim, his anger boiled over. Like, I think a lot of people, if you found out that while you were with someone, they not exactly cheated, but definitely breached trust in a very hard way. Like, he acted like I think a lot of people would. Like, some people can control their anger. Roy's not one of those guys.
Yeah.
And he is, like, the most human, like, most well-rounded, balanced character on this show. And I totally love the character. I love the way the actor portrays him. I think David Denman is his name. He does an awesome job. And if we're coming to the end of the Roy character, although we left on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
If we're coming to the end of the Roy character, I'm going to be really sad because he is one of the ones I look forward to most.
Well, when we're talking about how, you know, they turn their one characteristic up to 10, classic wrestling gag right there.
Oh, yeah,
to be a great wrestler, you have to turn one.
You have to be yourself cranked up.
Yeah. You can't just be mild-mannered. You can't be passive. You have to turn that and just turn it up to 10. And what they did is they did that with everyone, just one characteristic at a time. Like, Meredith the alcoholic.
Angela's bitchiness. Creed's insanity. Oscar's fussiness, I'll say.
Kevin's stupidity.
Well,
Stanley's laziness.
Yeah. Phyllis's gossipness.
Gossiping. There you go. Jim's pranking.
Yeah.
Dwight's, what would...
eccentricity.
Yeah, okay,
that's
guess.
That's what I'll go... Well, no, come on.
Yeah. Michael's
need to please everybody at all times, or to be the center of attention.
I was gonna say...
His need for attention.
I was gonna say his, can't think of the word now, though.
What's a synonym? Help me out.
I'm
help me help you.
His, just...
Come on, man. Pull it out of your ass. Come on.
I'm struggling now.
You'll remember it next episode.
I probably will.
But, what did you... You didn't give me a rating.
No, I didn't. I gave it a 4.2. I thought it was a good episode. I mean, I've heard, you know, fives thrown out on the show. I don't agree
legit
with...
fives.
I don't agree with more than one episode being a five.
Ever? In the whole show? Or?
Yeah, in the whole... I think there should be 1.5, which is a standard bear. And then you could throw 4.9s in saying it's close.
You're saying hold on. That's stupid.
I don't agree. I think there's one...
So are you saying that there's only one movie ever made that's a five? And then I'm not talking about...
but that's what I'm talking... You're talking about one show.
Okay, hold on. You're a Star Wars nerd.
I am a Star Wars nerd. Wars. What's
the best Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back, by far.
And is there anything else that even gets a 5? Anything close to it? A New Hope?
There's close ones, but there's nothing that I would say, oh, these two are so close to each other.
Like, you wouldn't put
there's Empire Strikes Back. Then there's Revenge of the Sith and... Return of a Jedi. Return of
what
the
about
Jedi.
New Hope?
Those
New
are
Hope.
Like 4.5.
I put a New Hope as
New,
number two.
New Hope is it's good, but you know, as the movies keep going, you realize.
Well, I mean, that's the baseline.
Yeah,
though. That's
I
where
know.
You start.
But that's the thing. You can't say like, oh, you know, the baseline is
okay.
A 5 because then
what's a 5 to you? And the episodes we've covered,
we haven't gotten doesn't... there yet.
So you don't think?
I don't
sexual
think anything...
harassment.
Sexual harassment's a great 4.9.
Diversity Day.
Great 4.9.
Ben Franklin.
I think there is an episode that will surpass all of them. And I think it's just a little premature. We'll you might want to go back and fix your ratings,
see,
bro.
I think you can have multiple fives for a show that has a 9-year shelf life.
I mean, it does.
I think there's going to be ones that tip all the boxes and make you laugh uproariously. And that have good characters.
That's like your opinion, man.
There we go. All right. Well, do you want to talk about anything else here?
No,
you
want to
talk about Mike and Jan or Pam or anything like that, or you think you got it out?
I think I got everything out that I wanted to say. I hope you guys enjoyed my review of the episode.
And now they get to hear you play second banana to my review.
Yes, this is true.
All right, so we will be right back with the next episode, The Negotiation, which was at episode 18 of season 3. And we'll be right back right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives for our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the halftime intermission portion of the show, and this is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at PlaceToBeNation.com. So right now, we're going to tell you what's going on over there this week, and we'll start off with the hard-traveling fanboys as they continue the annual Walking Dead month with guest Jennifer Smith, and they count down the worst episodes in the TV show's history. On DC For You, they continue their DC Comics Best Horror offerings with a review of 2019's Swamp Thing pilot. This week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch.
Just want to say, Colts beat the Broncos this week.
They did. They did. They...
It was ugly, but it worked. That's
it shouldn't
all that
have
matters.
Happened. It shouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
Vinny,
we should have beat you by like 40. You're right.
You do realize that the spread on that game, I think it was Colts -5.5.
That's okay.
Broncos covered the spread,
yeah,
baby.
but we got the dub.
Did you see that douchebag Flacco after the game, by the way?
No.
He came out and called out the coaching staff. He said they coach afraid. Like, they're not aggressive. I'm
of
like,
all, of all people, Joey Flacco.
Joe Flacco has no fucking arm strength, or he has no interest in being an NFL quarterback.
I honestly don't think they do. You know who's gonna be the next Broncos quarterback?
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Tom Brady. Threw it out. Oh,
no,
there
no.
it goes.
I have another one. I think they're going to trade. I think Pittsburgh's going to want to start over fresh.
You think they're going to get
Big Ben? This is, mark my words. We're going to get Big Ben for a 2-year rental. we're going to win at least one Super Bowl. He will retire, and John Elway will spend the next 7 years drafting 6'7" quarterbacks.
Well, we just threw two all-time legends out to be your next. That's all you guys can do.
It's all on the table.
Get the sloppy seconds of greats.
We still won a Super Bowl with Peyton.
I know.
It's on the table, dude. I'm just saying.
Do you think Brady's going to go somewhere before his time's over?
I actually don't see it happening. I think the Patriots are going to work with him.
Something I brought up to a coworker. Huh. Do you think when Belichick and Brady are both finally done, you think Kraft is just going to sell the team? Be like, I can't do
anything. I think he's
going
to die.
Wow.
I think it's going to be too much. He's like 80 as it is.
I don't think they're going to be around that much longer. I know everyone's...
Who, the Krafts?
No, Belichick and Brady, which would then, I think as soon as they leave, I'd sell the team and be like, I can't get any better. sell it for $4 or $5 billion.
You know who the coach is going to be?
Oh, McDaniels.
McNugget, who both of our teams have a history of.
No, he was hired. Yeah, but.
Handshake agreement.
Yeah, man's honor, which he's not a man.
So anyway, siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast.
Woohoo!
Put that one over. We're not in October anymore, but Pop Goes Classics covers all the classic Halloween movies, or the Universal Monster movies like The Wolfman, so go back and listen to those if you're still in the Warwolf, if you're still in the Halloween spirit. Pop Goes the Movies looks at the long-awaited sequel Zombieland, Double Tap. Join Andy and Jenny as they discuss the latest major movie release. You see Zombieland?
No, I'm not.
Do you guys go to the movies often, you and your lady friend?
No, not since we got an apartment. We don't go. I don't know, why waste money going to a movie?
Why waste money?
I'll be honest.
You're so cheap.
Oh, I know. before I met my lady friend, my girlfriend, the only movies I ever went to see were Star Wars.
Are you going to go in December?
Oh, God, yeah. Well,
we'll get the posse together?
Yeah, we'll go, after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year. We're not those...
We don't dress up in,
wizard
costumes.
No, we're not the people that dress up, but we are me and my other brother.
Yeah, not me. I've gone to the last two with you.
No, I know, but, we've gone, three times each.
Yeah, you guys are
losers. We go multiple times. We take it in.
Did you see the face Daisy Ridley made? Oh, my God. She emoted so well in that scene.
She's a good actress.
Swing.
Yeah. No, I don't... I mean, before we had a place to go, we'd go to the movies more often, because, just to get out and not be hanging around with mom and dad.
I'll tell you the truth here, is me and my girlfriend have been together almost, we've been over 2 years now, and we've never gone to a movie.
You've never even watched a movie?
We watched one movie together at her.
The Beaver, right?
The Beaver, starring Mel Gibson. She actually sat and watched through that, yes. But she... After, a year and a half, she realized that we'd never gone to a movie together, and she said, well, I want to keep that streak intact, so we're never going to a movie.
Wow.
We're
going
to be the one couple that never goes to movies.
That's kind of sad. She's not a Star Wars fan, is she?
She's not a movie fan. She doesn't watch movies as it is.
Does she watch TV?
Yeah, she watches reality shows.
Jersey Shore.
Hey, she got me into Jersey Shore. I was talking about that the other day with Mare Bear, about, Ronnie and JWoww and stuff like that. Stuff that I never, 10 years ago, no fucking way would I ever watch that.
Yeah, but no, I don't go to the movies as often. But
good for you. Save them money.
A lot of money.
Save up for retirement.
Yeah.
So the NBA team is back as Adam and Andrew provide a slew of team previews for the upcoming NBA regular season.
You want a Porzingis jersey? We have some at work.
I'll take a Porzingis jersey. Why not? If it's either that or Giannis.
I don't know why we get it in Scranton, PA, but we do.
Did you see the other night LeBron's hair fell out on the court?
No.
His plugs? Oh, yeah, and Anthony Davis was like, dude, your hair!
And that's all. Well, the greatest comeback is his hairline. Greatest comeback in sports
tries
is LeBron's hairline.
Every offseason it tries. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winston, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. On our newest show, Diamond Conversations, the premiere episode features an interview with the 2006 first-round pick of the San Diego Padres, Matt Antonelli, which I guess is better than their first-round pick, I think it was 2005, Matt Bush, who, number one overall. I don't think he ever got out of, double A.
No, isn't he the one that was their bullpen guy this year?
No, Matt Bush? No, he was a shortstop, and he, flamed out really quick.
Are you...
I'm positive.
I might have to do some research because they had an old draft pick resurge. He like went into rehab for drugs. And
oh, that might
back.
Be Matt Bush. Look yeah. it up. Look it up now.
Yeah, no, he came back and he was a bullpen arm.
See, the Padres are the most obscure MLB team. Like nobody can. Even people in San Diego are like, "Fuck this team. We don't care."
So
like,
sad. Is it Mike or Matt?
Matt Bush. You're looking this up now. Okay. In a special holiday edition of Laugh-In Theater, Andy hosts Jenny and Miranda to live watch It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, the Great Chump. The greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. Going to be huge. I know you're going to be probably on the bandwagon for Scrubs, right?
Scrubs is probably my all-time favorite show.
Oh, it is Matt Bush.
Yeah, he came back as a pitcher.
With the Rangers.
In the bullpen for the Rangers, yeah.
No shit. That's actually kind of a good comeback story, to be completely honest.
Yeah, no, he went into rehab, and he came, 04 draft. He came back, I think, either this year or the past last year.
I didn't even hear about that.
As a bullpen arm.
Yeah, he was like a total complete fuck-up.
Yeah. But no, yes, I'm a huge Scrubs fan. That's my office. If you take, you know, like Mary's mindset, I can sit down and just watch like 10 episodes
a
day
awesome.
And just take it in. I could quote most of the episodes.
Also, Frasier. Frasier's fucking fantastic.
I don't know how Frasier isn't a one seed.
No,
It has to be a one seed.
So, also, check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It will be the new home of geek and sassy, talk and pop, freak out driving, and lots of fun new content. You know what the Jenny Position alludes to?
Sounds gross.
In wrestling, the Gorilla Position?
Oh, okay.
Ah, yeah, check that
gorilla
out.
Gorilla Monsoon!
I love Gorilla. For the month of October, October's over, so never mind.
Sorry,
that was the Halloween movie challenge.
That, guys.
We've been talking about the Halloween movie challenge.
Next week, we'll tell you who won.
No, it wasn't. It's not. That one's not a...
oh, no?
That one's not a tournament, no.
Oops, my bad.
Over at the PTBN Wrestling feed, on the Place to Be podcast, JT Scott and guest Todd Weber kick off a whole new decade of pay-per-views with Royal Rumble 1990. I love that show. You like that show?
1990? I don't know if we've watched it. We do the annual 92 Rumble rewatch.
Every January, like in December, everybody watches Christmas movies from their youth.
Yes.
In January rolls around, man, I'm putting on Rumble 92. Greatest
yes.
show ever.
Every year before the Rumble starts, we rewatch 92.
It's the best. It's the
Woo!
On the latest PTBN Extreme three-way dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from May 1994. On Main Event 135, Scott, Nate, and Steve welcome Jordan Duncan to talk about the past 2 weeks of programming, including AEW, NXT, and SmackDown. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched any
AEW. Dude, AEW, it's like a mix of current wrestling, like WWE, Nitro, and like kind of like the booking and like the storylines of that kind of have like this old 80s NWA vibe, like Dusty and Flair and stuff.
Well, I mean, look,
Jericho.
Look who's running it. I mean, you got Cody running
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a generation.
American Dream, baby.
But, dude, Jericho, amazing. Like, some of the best work.
I follow him on Twitter and Instagram, and he's just constantly saying how he's going to put Vince out of business.
Oh, dude.
Which is so amazing, because as soon as the opportunity comes, he will be back in WWE
to
open arms of Vince McMahon, even though he's trying to ruin him.
I love you, Chris. Even if my son-in-law hates you, I love you. You're a drunk I can't get off. give it a shot, though. The matches, they're kind of spotty.
Yeah.
Like the spot fest stuff.
Normal.
But like the Jericho stuff is awesome. And like some of the lower card stuff is fun. JR and Shivani calling wrestling. It's like a fucking throwback.
The Jericho out of ring stuff is amazing.
Oh, he's great.
Him leaving his title belt at what was
Longhorn
after getting sloshed at it.
Like, I haven't watched wrestling in forever, but these last 4 weeks I've been getting back in just by watching some. I'm not watching the whole shows or anything.
Are you watching SmackDown on
Fox? No, God, no. I watched the first one, and it was like, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched most of it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of different. Like, Fox totally redid how WWE does television.
But the next
week they went right back to it.
That's
although the draft with the Fox robot was pretty fucking Cletus. That was pretty fucking awesome. Anyway, on Row 1, Seat 1, number 26, Ben hosts actor John Keating for an in-depth interview about his wrestling fandom, career, and life in L.A. The latest episode of Talking WCW has Jenny, Tim, and Greg discussing the man called Sting as they delve into three distinct eras of the icon's illustrious WCW career.
Which one's your favorite? Surfer Sting? Crow Sting?
I actually love Surfer Sting. But
I'm more Crow partial cool. to Insane Joker Sting.
Yeah, Insane Icon Sting is... Yeah, well, you were watching
Sting. Oh, yeah,
we were watching religiously.
We were watching that back then. Steiner, Sting.
Yeah, the was it
Flowers, Hoaxster.
Immortal versus Fortune.
Yes.
I love that shit. Okay. Also, don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. But don't forget about veteran columns like, every Wednesday we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscola and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead at the biggest matchups. Go Wyoming Cowboys! Catch their weekly column every Wednesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get in on the conversation and start researching your lists. Seems like you had something to say there.
You know, new voices all the time. I'm a great example. I'll be here, you know.
I'll be here.
Maybe, possibly in the future as well.
Oh, really? Oh, what are you planning? Did you talk into Mare Bear?
No, I might just do pops, spots.
You're going to pop
here.
In?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, guys, I watched this episode.
Yeah.
Do a three-way Dan. But, so anyway, this is also the part of cast where we put ourselves over. You want to listen, or you want to get in touch with us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. We like to keep it light, as Mary says, where we post memes and, you know, we'll talk to you. we'll get in touch with you.
We'll actually respond every once in a while.
Yeah, we're good. And then if you want to send feedback, and whether it's criticism, suggestion, comment, question, concern,
let me know if I did good,
yeah,
if I did bad, if you hate my voice, if you love my voice. Let me know how I did. I would love to hear from my brother and sister, their audience's response to me.
Oz wants to hear what you guys have to say. And
I do.
If you email us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com, all one word, we'll be happy to read your feedback on the air in this portion of the show. And, you know, give you a response, let you know what's up. We greatly appreciate it.
You could give feedback like, hey, maybe Mary shouldn't be on the show. Hey, maybe it should be the brother-brother rewatch.
This is a soft coup right now.
No. It's very aggressive.
It's very hard
right now.
It's very hard.
No, but please, let me know if you guys enjoyed it with me replacing Mary, or if you really want Mary back, if you want that feminine touch to the show.
Yeah, like we're not getting it from you. But, I mean, they have another half of the episode to decide whether or not. Because right now, we are going to do Season 3, Episode 18, The Negotiation. And I want to point out, this is a full 30-minute episode, which I was not expecting.
Halfway through, you watched it when it was out. Do you ever remember, like, an episode having a lot more commercials? Like, running an hour, but only a half hour of an actual show?
NBC would advertise, like, ooh, an extra special long edition, or an extra hour long edition, or something like that. They would, like, do that.
But
I don't remember it happening.
I'm thinking, like, if it's a half hour of showtime,
that's 45 minutes.
They do, like 45 minutes, 15. Like, it just seems so weird and outside of what a broadcasting.
We talked about that the first one we did. Because this season, I feel like this is the fifth or sixth time.
Yeah, it's been a lot this season.
Because I remember NBC, I don't know if they couldn't keep a show in the 8:30 time slot on Thursdays. So they do like, maybe I'm wrong, but I seem to remember them doing 3 45-minute episodes. They would do, it was like 3 45-minute episodes, I think it was, or something like that. Or like a half-hour episode in 2 45 minutes. It would be My Name is Earl, and then it would be The Office, and then Scrubs. Which is a hell of a lineup.
I mean, we used to watch My Name is Earl.
I loved Earl.
You know, we're scouts. We'd come back from
our
Thursday scout meeting.
Not me. I was out
of
it.
You were done by then?
Dude, I'm older than
you
by a lot, remember? Not me. That was you.
Yeah. But we'd come back from the scout meeting, sit down, we'd catch the end of My Name is Earl, catch The Office.
Yeah, The Office, and then Scrubs, and we're better for it.
Yes, we are. I think we are.
But anyway, let's do the cold open here. Roy is pacing in the parking lot like a jungle cat as people are leaving. Up in the office, Jim and Karen are chatting at his desk about doing a date night or something. And then Roy enters.
Just,
and, Halpert!
The crazy look in his eye.
And he looks at Pam, then he looks at Jim, and he charges Jim. And as he's about to, Jim pushes Karen out of the way.
Gentlemanly.
Yeah, and as Roy gets to him, fucking, like, foam flies from the other side of the desk into his eyes. He starts screaming, and Dwight has pepper spray.
Yes.
And everybody's starting, like, to tear up in that. And they go,
only it was Bear Mace. I was like, dude, I
was going to bring that up to you, that episode of South Park.
Yes.
It's Bear Mace, bruh! So they do a talking head, and Dwight's, like, crying from the pepper spray. Yes. He's talking about how people laughed at him for keeping it in his desk all these years, and who's laughing now? So the show opens proper, and it's Mike and Toby on speakerphone in the conference room with Jam. And, you know, Roy's been fired. Jim won't press charges against Roy or the company. But now Daryl is using Roy's firing as grounds for a raise. And we go to a talking head of Pam where she says, no comment. It just sucked. Yeah. That's it. And Jim does a talking head where he says he was lucky that Dwight was there. Roy is lucky he didn't use his nunchucks or throwing stars. And we see images of Dwight pulling nunchucks out of his desk and throwing stars.
Yeah, he like peels a throwing star from the underneath of his desk.
He has an arsenal in his desk. So Jim tries to thank Dwight, and Dwight won't accept it. So he said he was just being a citizen, doing anything any citizen would do. So Jim offers him a gift that's all wrapped up, and Dwight won't accept that either. You know, and Jim says, well, it's a glass bobblehead case for his bobblehead, but whatever.
I thought that, you know, he saved my life. I give him a glass case. I thought that would have made us even.
So Dwight talking head, he says he's not a hero. Real heroes take off their glasses, go into phone booths, and put on capes.
I wrote that down. Dwight's image of a real hero is a fictional superhero. That's his real life hero.
Angela has Roy's check for when he comes. And Oscar, you know, starts telling, because Angela wasn't there for the fight, Oscar starts telling Angela the story. And I have one word. I have a word here. I don't know if you're going to like it. She's kind of moist.
I wrote down that she's getting turned on by the recreation of Dwight's heroism.
Yeah, hearing because she's playing with her necklace and
she's getting hot and bothered, you may say. Like, you could tell she was enjoying the recreation of hearing her man.
Yeah, her man stand up and fight a big hulking man like Roy.
Well, in which she has said in the past, like, you know, Roy's not bad. So, I mean, what more could she want that the man she does have beat the one that she, you know, may want?
Yeah, she finds handsome.
Yes.
Or fetching.
Yes. Fetching, that's a good word for Angela.
Yes. So Jim is in Michael's office, and they're role-playing a negotiation with Jim as Daryl. And, like, of course, Jim makes salient points, and Michael mumbles and leans back. And Jim's like, what are you doing? And, you know, Mike says, well, I got some strategies off of Wikipedia, and I'm establishing dominance by whispering and holding my head up high.
Now, I just want to...
It just makes him look like an ass.
Yeah, I want to go back for a second. When they're in the if they're in the conference room, did you get to that part where Mike and Toby are in the conference room?
Well, that was
room?
The beginning. Yeah. Was there something you wanted to talk about?
I did. They're in the conference room, and Mike's talking to Jan on the speaker, and Jan's saying, like, know you know, the problems that are up there, and Mike's like, no, there's no problems, you know. Well, you had a disgruntled employee, and Mike goes, no, everyone's grunting. Here.
Everyone's very grunted.
Everyone, and she goes, is Toby there? And Mike just goes, no. And I'm right here, Jan. And Mike just shoots daggers. Like, why do you have to talk?
I hate you, Toby.
Yeah, just like the short little spot of just Mike hating Toby and using everyone's gruntled.
It's good shit. So we go to Toby in his little area in the annex, and Dwight gives a statement, very matter-of-factly.
Yes.
Then
straight to the point.
They go to the other side of the cubicle. Kelly and Ryan are listening, and then they like start arguing.
Yes,
because Kelly's
normal
like,
couple.
"You wouldn't save me, you wouldn't, Ryan. You would just run away." Blah blah blah. And like Toby's sitting there, he's like, "Guys,
trying to work."
People
here.
Back here, and like they're just arguing over him. He's just helpless. So then they do a talking head of him in another room, and
he's like in the break room or something.
And behind him, you can see Ryan and Kelly. I almost said Molly.
Yeah.
Ryan and Kelly making out hardcore. Yes. And Toby's like, I don't know if Mike intended this as a punishment, but if he did, it's genius.
Like, what better punishment than to put Toby with Ryan and Kelly?
He respects it.
Yes. He accepts it. Like, he may not have meant it, but good job.
So Daryl comes to Mike's office, and they... You know, Michael's trying to use another tactic that he learned on Wikipedia for negotiation of changing the location. So they go to the conference room, and, like,
Which he tried to change like three times.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Going back and forth.
Oh, no, we're staying. No, let's go.
Then they're just sitting there quietly for what felt like an eternity. Because Michael said, I'm declining to speak first. Because that's
he did a talking head where he said, this is the next strategy, declining to speak first. In which you go back, and he speaks first by telling Daryl,
he declines,
I'm not speaking first.
Daryl notices that Mike is wearing a woman's power suit. And Michael starts getting defensive, and Daryl's like, no, that's a woman's suit. So Michael goes out to the main office, and he asks Pam to back him up. And, like, Pam's like, oh, my God, that's a woman's... And everybody
Pam
jumps
immediately
up.
Realizes, like, how did you not notice?
And everybody pounces on him, and somebody's like, well, what brand is it? And he opens up the... it's got pink lining.
Pink lining.
And it says, Mysterious. And Michael's like, no, it's European.
Yeah.
And Pam goes, no, there's no pockets. He goes, Italians don't wear pockets.
Yeah, he just turns around, shoves his ass out, and starts saying, Europeans don't use pockets.
My favorite is then Daryl just goes, you look like Hillary Clinton. And at this time, Hillary still did wear pantsuits.
Yes.
She didn't wear those, like, Kim Jong-il things she wears
those, like, robes or whatever they are.
Those, like, brightly colored smocks or whatever she wears. So, in the break room, Kevin asks...
As Daryl's taking pictures of Mike, he said, I gotta send this to people.
Daryl has no respect for Mike.
No, zero respect for Michael.
But Michael, I feel like past Diversity Day episodes have led Michael to be skittish to stand up to Daryl.
Yes, he doesn't want to say what he... Well, he still does, but... The word I was thinking of earlier was naive.
Naive.
Michael's very naive. So when he says stuff to Daryl, he doesn't realize he's
saying. But he also thinks Daryl's cool, so he wants to be cool to Daryl.
Yes, he wants to be hip with Daryl, which is very...
So he'll take his lumps, so to speak. So we go to the break room, and Kevin asks Karen how she feels about Roy beating up Jim over the same woman. And Karen's like, oh yeah, I feel great, Kevin. Like, she's sarcastic. So then Angela's sitting with Karen. She goes, well, I wasn't here. Can you tell me what happened? And Karen starts telling her the story. And Angela is thirsty.
Yes. She is, like, licking her lips.
Oh,
she's
God. Her eyes are wide. She's like, she is, like, fondling herself. It's crazy. So then Karen does a talking head. And her quote is, when I heard they kissed, we had a lot of long talks about feelings. Roy just attacked him. I'm not sure which he hated more.
Yes, so going back to the past episode,
okay,
you and Mary your differences.
Tell me I was wrong.
You were wrong. Yeah. She fully says, like, hey, we had long talks that Jim hated.
Yeah.
I don't think Jim would hate sex.
Yeah, so I was wrong about the sex thing. I misread the situation.
Yes, you did.
So I'm sorry, Mare Bear. She'll listen to this.
If only she were here, she would rub it in so much more.
Well, I appreciate it. Back to the negotiations. Daryl wants more money, basically, for doing more work because of the merger.
Yeah, because now Roy's gone.
Oh, because Roy's gone, so they have the money.
So there's two, I mean, Daryl has two leverage points here. He's saying we have two branches that we're working for, and I'm missing my top guy.
Yep. Then we shoot to Jam and Pam in the, Jim and Pam, Jam.
But that is their name.
That's their Brangelina name. In the break room, and Jim is like a standoffish, kind of dickish.
He's
like, you and Roy are going to get back together.
Yeah, like, I put that he was trying to be a dick to Pam. Yeah. Like,
again, this
seemed,
isn't the first time.
No, it's not. And it just...
And Pam's being sincere, like trying to apologize. She's like, I'm really sorry about everything, Jim.
Yes, and she really is just trying... She's acknowledging that, like, you know, this is because of me, I'm sorry. And Jim's just like, yeah, whatever, I'm sure you guys will find your way back to each other.
Yeah, but he says it in that tone where you're like, I'm slapping
him. Well, yeah, you know that Jim tone.
I'm going to kill Jim Halpert. So Daryl, we go back to Daryl and Mike, and Daryl's telling Mike how much he wants... for his raise. And they do it in, like, the film way Michael makes him slide a piece of paper across
the table. Why can't I just tell you? Because this is how they do it in movies.
So Mike says it's more than he makes, and then to prove it, he shows Daryl his pay stub.
Yes.
And Daryl starts mocking him mercilessly.
Taking pictures of his pay stub. Which I have
and
here...
To email to people to laugh at him.
Which I have here, Daryl's acting like a teenage girl. Just constantly, like, he's taking pictures.
Oh, God, I gotta show her.
Yeah, like, he took pictures of Mike in the woman's suit, emailing it, texting it to people. He took a picture of Mike's check, emailing it. Oh, this will make Roy feel better. Like, so, like, I just have, like, Daryl's like a very typical teenage girl right now.
Kind of. Like, oh, my God, I gotta share this. So Michael does a talking head where he gets defensive, and he's like, well, I get perks too. I get a $100 gas card every year, and you can't put a price on that.
So Mike.
It's so Michael.
Yes.
So Jim wants to get Dwight a beer or lunch, but, like, Dwight refuses to accept it. And then Jim is talking with Karen in the break room, And he's like, you know, when I try to, like, fuck with Dwight, he doesn't see it coming.
Yes.
But now that I'm actually trying to do something nice for him, he, like, doesn't, he's like an eel. I can't get a hold of him.
Yeah, like, Dwight's very suspicious of just Jim trying to be a nice person.
So, like, Karen just says to him, like, you probably feel guilty about all the pranks, and you should get back to work. Which I like. You go, Karen.
Yeah.
So Daryl's now on the phone mocking Mike to somebody.
Yes. Probably Roy. And, if I had a feeling, it'd probably be Roy.
And Mike is sitting across the desk and just taking it. And then Daryl hangs up and tells Mike to pretty much nut up and get his own
raise. You're doing just as much work. You have two branches here. Yeah. Like,
because Daryl's like, if you get a raise, I can get a raise.
Daryl is a third leverage point right here. Like, you get a, I'm going to help you get a raise, so I get a raise.
So Daryl like is kind of like building him up, and Michael's like buying in. Like, yeah, you're right. So then we go to... This is probably the low-key highlight.
Oh, God, yes.
Angela goes to Creed to ask him the story because she wants to keep like getting off on this.
Yes.
And Creed just starts... It was about 11:30 at night, and the big guy comes in. I think Halpert stole his car or something like that. So then Schrute pulls out a lighter and an aerosol can from his...
Does he say something about a sock of nickels?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Roy pulled out a sock of nickels. And like Angela's just like, you're useless. Yes.
Which I think that may have been the greatest story if she let it go to finish.
I just picture like the aerosol can with the lighter.
Yeah.
Like a blowtorch. So then Jan, we go back to Michael and Daryl in Mike's office, and Jan is on speakerphone with Mike, and he's saying that he's coming to New York. He wants the raise. They have to meet face to face. He'll be there by 5 o'clock.
Well, no, she told him.
She told him that he needs
has
to be, there.
To be like, you, and bring a third party.
Yes,
like,
and she sa- and he says, "Well, I have Daryl," and she goes, "Daryl from the warehouse? No, you need HR. Bring Toby."
And just Mike's like, "Ah!"
So Michael goes back to Toby, and you know, all you hear is like fucking Kelly and Ryan just bickering, and Toby looks dead inside. So Michael goes, "Come on, Toby, let's go." And Toby goes, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to smack you in the head with a hammer. Just come on." And Toby, of course, just grabs his briefcase and goes, "Okay, it's better than this."
Yeah, which it might be.
Yeah. So Daryl's driving them to New York, and the three of them are like in the cab of his truck.
Yes.
And he asks them if they're comfortable. Michael's like, "Yep." And Toby just goes, "No." So they're going. It turns out they're going to spend the night at Daryl's cousin in the city.
Yeah, Daryl's just like, "Oh, I have a cousin that I've been meaning to visit." And Toby's just like, "Well, how are we supposed to get him?" Daryl's like, "Well, there's enough room. We could all stay." But then takes it back and like, "Yeah, maybe you'll want to take a bus home." Like, just real weird and
it's hilarious.
Just the thought of Michael and Toby taking a bus home together too. Like, maybe one doesn't come off that bus.
Toby's hilarious. So Angela is now getting the story from Kelly, but Kelly gets a call and she goes, "You know, if you really want to know, just read the files. Toby took everybody's statement."
Mm-hmm.
So Angela goes into Toby's desk and gets like the file with all the stories, and she's like, "It's like a romance novel to her, like one of those, like you know."
No, I
you know what I'm talking about, yeah. So anyway, the three guys arrive at the Dunder Mifflin headquarters in the city. And there's a woman sitting next to Mike in the waiting room, and she's wearing the same suit, the pantsuit.
Yes.
Mysterious.
Yes.
So,
which he looks, she has like a handkerchief in the pocket, a pocket square, and he's just like, "Oh, I should have got one of those." Like, that's the look on his face, like, "Oh, why didn't I think of that?"
It looks so baggy on him, too.
I want to know, like,
did because I think it's fitted for, like, breasts.
Well, know? I want to know, like, did they just go out and buy a generic suit for him? Or, like, did they specially make... Because I can't
tailored
imagine...
Tailored suit? Yeah, no, like, that's probably...
I can't imagine them actually... I don't know.
They probably got it off the rack. But,
well, as Michael said, there was just a bin full of stuff. Everyone was grabbing it, so I decided I was going to grab it.
So, a young, handsome assistant comes out, and Mike and Toby, you know, he calls them back. Daryl goes to Mike, "Remember what I told you? What did he tell him?"
"Bibbidi boppity.
Give me the soppity."
Yes.
And there's a talking head of Daryl where he says, he's like, "I'm really pulling for Mike. I want him to get that raise. But I taught him some black slang because I just couldn't help myself."
I just can't help myself.
Some like fake phrases.
Which,
That sound like, you know, what Daryl would... No, what Michael would believe a black person would say.
Yes, okay. But that's it's what I just... mean. Everyone just sees Michael as this punching bag.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Daryl just admits, like, I can't help it. Like I have to.
Like you said, he's naive.
Yes.
So Roy arrives at the office with security to guide him through.
Hank.
And, yes.
Hank.
Is that Hank? No, Hank is older. This was a younger guy.
Wasn't it the older?
No, it was a younger guy.
Oh, my bad.
It wasn't Leonard with the hook either. So Roy arrives, and he's going through the office. He apologizes to Jim, and he gets his check, and he asks...
Which, Oscar stands
yeah, with Angela to protect
yes,
her.
Yes.
And he asks Pam on his way out if, like, if he could see her later for coffee. He just wants to say some things. Like, he's not like, I want to get back with you.
He's
he just wants to talk.
Open, like, get it all out.
Yeah, kind of closure in a way.
Yeah.
So Roy leaves, and immediately Kevin runs out of the break room and goes, Jim, Roy, look out!
Like classic Kevin.
Like a hero.
Yes.
Now we go to the New York negotiations, and they sit across, and Michael immediately starts, like, who's the boy toy? And she's like, well, that's my assistant, Hunter, and do I have to tell you every time I get a new assistant or something like that?
A memo would be nice.
Yeah. And so they're trying to start the negotiations, and Mike starts, he's, like, using sex against Jan. Well, if you don't give me this raise...
Well, what she said, like, she openly says, like, this is a business issue.
Put
like,
our personal aside.
Nothing personal.
Yeah.
First thing out of Mike's mouth is, how could you do this to me after all I've done for you? Yeah. Just immediately, not even listening to what she says, just immediately goes into, like, the guilt game.
Yeah, and then he's just like, no more sex if I don't get this raise. So then we go to a talking head of Toby outside, and I have the whole quote here. This may be the first time a male subordinate has attempted to get a modest scheduled raise by threatening to withhold sex from a female superior. It will be a groundbreaking case when it inevitably goes to trial.
Yes, which Toby is fully prepared for this going to trial.
Oh, it's hilarious. He's taking notes. He goes, it's for the deposition.
Yes.
So now we go to a small diner, and it's Roy and Pam.
Who do you think Toby would be on the side of there?
Oh, Jan. 100%.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. So Roy calls her Pammy. Nice continuity.
Yes.
The thing is, I watched these episodes back to back. I don't know if I would have caught that a week apart, like on the show.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you waited a whole week.
Yeah, it's so minute. You know what I mean? But he apologizes pretty much. And she kind of says, like, we both made very bad choices. Like, they apologize to each other. And he's like, are you going to start dating Halper? And she's like, no, he's got a girlfriend anyway or whatever. And Roy's, like, kind of incredulous. Like, you're not even going to try to date the guy? You ruined our wedding.
Yeah, like, we called off a wedding, I destroyed a bar, and my brother had to give up all his jet ski money, and you're not even going to, like, attempt to be with the one?
And she just says, like, well, like, I did that for other reasons, too. It wasn't just Jim. You know, and Roy's just like, I'll never get you. I'll never understand you.
Which goes back to last episode where he said, I read you like, you can't hide anything from me. And he's just like, oh, I had no idea.
She hid this entire romance
from
him. But that's pretty much the end of Roy, I think.
Yeah, Roy's...
They kind of just separate after that. They hug and...
They hug outside and go their separate ways.
Sad. If this really is the end of Roy, I am...
Tear.
Totally broken. So, so now we go back to the office, and Dwight finds a certificate on his desk. And it says, like, for your act of bravery or whatever. And Jim is like, oh, look at this. You know, word must have got around. The Scranton police gave you a certificate. And Dwight goes, no, they give this out to children. Look at the teddy bear with the police cap in the corner. And he just, like, crumples up and throws it away.
And Jim just goes, didn't think you'd notice.
So we go back to the negotiation, and Toby leaves for a break. And Jan is like, Michael, what's wrong with you? And Michael starts talking about his dirty, shitty, no good day, where he's like, you know, like, Daryl started making...
I cross-dressed.
Yeah, I accidentally cross-dressed. Daryl made fun of me for not making a lot of money. I had to drive here with fucking Toby. Like, he just shits on Toby. And Jan pretty much tells him, she's like, I can offer you 12%, but
I can give you 12%.
Yeah, but you have to ask for 15. And, like, she's telling him pretty much, like, spelling out, ask for 15, I'll give you 12. That's how this works. I have to record that you asked for 15. And Michael's, like, he doesn't get it at first, and then he does get it. So then he goes, I want 15. And Jan's like, well, I can give you 12. But I thought you said I could have...
He immediately goes, well, you just said you could give me 13. He just doesn't understand.
So ridiculous. So then we go to a talking head of Michael, and he's, like, in front of an elevator out there. And he's like, life is about more than just salary. It's about perks, like having sex with Jan.
Yeah.
And then we go, Michael! Yeah. And she's standing, like, the camera pans out, and she's right next to him. She's like, let's go. And, like, they just leave.
But he thinks it's part of his job now. He thinks that's his job. It's in his contract to
be in
a relationship with Jan, have sex with...
The love contract.
The whole love contract is explaining, no, this isn't part of your job. This should have nothing to do with your job. But Michael just doesn't understand.
Awesome.
I'm using that a lot. He just doesn't understand.
Parents just don't understand. So everyone is leaving the office at this point, and it's just Angela and Dwight left. And, like, she's like, I've done some reading.
Yeah.
Maybe we could read it together tonight. And, like, Dwight's like, oh, yeah. He's, like, trying to be suave. And then they just start making out on a desk. So we see Jim poke out of the... He came out of the bathroom. Yep, they didn't know he was there. And he sees them. And he just goes right back in.
Just...
And the camera is, like, interviewing him in the bathroom. He goes, I can't... Like that. And then he just stops. He goes, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody. Me and Dwight are even now. Like, yeah, that's his gift to Dwight.
Which is... This is a pretty good gift for Jim.
So the end... This is interesting. We see Andy pull up in the parking lot and get out of his car, and he's talking about how he graduated on time, like at Cornell, from anger management.
Yes, graduated anger management on time.
And he's going to, you know, he's back, and he's not going to be, you know, getting in anybody's grill. He's a new man and that. And he goes in the office and goes, hey, everybody, and immediately gets maced by
Dwight. Boom, pepper spray, right to the face.
Dwight's like, threat neutralized. So then it ends.
No need to thank me.
It ends with, like, Toby... He has a box, and Dwight is, like, loading it with all the weapons in
his nunchucks,
throwing stars, a big boss man nightstick,
pepper spray, throwing
all these like martial arts weapons and shit. Like, yes. I think he had a sai like Raphael, and like he's just putting them in a box, and that's the end of the show. What did you give this one a grade of?
I gave it a 3.3.
Well, that's kind of low.
Yeah,
that's like middling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of math you guys do when a 3 is in the middle.
That's Mary's. I said 2. No, that we fought about that.
I know you did.
And Mary's like, no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3's in the middle. Yeah. Like fucking 2.5 on a scale of 5. Like,
yeah, you can get a 0.1. Yeah. I'm sure there's an episode out there that might get that.
Oh, that's very possible.
But I gave it a 3.3. I mean, it was fun.
What didn't you like?
I mean, it wasn't that there wasn't much not to like.
What did you like?
I liked the whole Michael's woman cross-dressing.
Oh, that was awesome. That was a great gag.
I thought it was funny how Daryl was a teenage girl, but a little annoying, too. Like, you're a grown man.
Michael's mocking his boss, and Michael just lets it go.
Yeah, he just sat back and took it like a...
Like a bitch.
Yes. I mean, Jim, there wasn't a lot of Jim or Pam. There wasn't Jim and Pam.
I gave it a 4. And you know what I docked it for? And this is something...
Jim being a dick?
No. This is something that... Jim was good in this episode. There's something that they do far too often in the show is rush through shit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a 30-minute episode. They didn't build up the Roy thing. Like, let's put it in real time. The last 2 minutes of the last episode when he finds out, and then the first 2 minutes just the cold open of this episode where he goes after Jim.
Yeah.
Like, there maybe 5 minutes of screen time for this epic blow-off that we've been waiting 2.5 seasons for. You know what I mean?
No, I understand, but at the same time, like, what would you want him to do? Just be, like, working in instead the warehouse, plotting?
Instead
like,
of
He's not going to actually do anything,
instead of
though.
The end of the Friday, we start at 5 p.m. on a Friday, which... Roy's just out there pacing. Like, yeah, have him down in the warehouse. Like, show him, like, whittling a stick or something. You know what I mean? You have 30 minutes to play with. And maybe cut out some of, like, the Roy... Like, we don't need to see Michael quote Chris Tucker in the truck with Daryl. And, like, you could have cut that scene. You probably could have cut the Jim asking Dwight out for a beer for that and that. You know, whatever. I don't know. I feel like there's some things you could have shaved off and had, like, more Roy... going after Jim stuff.
I mean, you could. I mean, I think it would have been funny if it was more cartoonish. Where, like, Roy was trying to, like, have something, like, a book fall on Jim. Like, something
like Looney Tunes.
Something stupid throughout the episode. Like,
he said to Booby Trap.
Yeah, like,
like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, yeah, like, I think that would be great.
That'd be hilarious.
But at the same time, like, He probably didn't even go to work that day.
No, he was wearing his outfit.
But do you think he got anything done? He was probably just down there fuming the whole day. And when you're that angry, the only thing you think of is, I want to kill him. I want to get to him. Like, he's not thinking like, ooh, what's the long play here?
I don't know, man. I just, it's one of those things where it worked out well enough. But, like, why not wait for Jim to come to the parking lot? And, like, have Dwight, like, jump out from behind a car with the nunchucks. Like, I don't know. It worked, but, like, I can't help but feel like maybe something more could have been done. Or just a little more time to build it up.
I mean, I get you, but I think it was well done. The episode, it had its good parts, but I felt like last episode was a continuous high.
Yeah,
where this one had its valleys, you know, Jim and Pam in the break room, Jim being a dick, like, you kind of...
Yeah, he
like,
was.
Yeah, you're just like, okay, whatever. I mean, the Angela stuff where she was getting hot and
bothered.
That was good stuff. Creed, amazing, again. You know, Roy coming to get his check. It is what it is. Like, you don't have to do it, but understand why they do it.
It sets up him meeting Pam later, and kind of, it, like I said, it adds closure to that relationship, which you know is now over, and now Pam is single again.
A little disappointed that Mike found, 15 negotiation tactics, and we only saw,
three? We only saw five, yeah.
Yeah, like, I would like to know some of the other ones.
When he tells Jan at one point, don't use number 8 against me. Yes. I invented
number 8. Yeah. And she's just like, what are you talking about?
I mean, overall, it was, and even the end with Andy was nice. It was almost like Andy got comeuppance.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 4.
A 4?
Yeah, I thought it was solid. I liked it.
I mean, we're not that far
I'm kind of getting sick of the 30-minute eps, though. Like, I like the 21-minute sprints. Those are fun. Like, these, like, I feel like they pack so much in.
It's much easier. Like, I'm looking at the time right now. We did more in the last episode, which was a shorter episode, than we did in this one.
Well,
like, the last one...
Because you got every nuance of the episode in your review.
You know, I had my one chance. I wanted to shine. But, I don't know. It just, they stretch it out and they do throw unnecessary stuff in there just to make it longer, which if it's their fault, it's on them. But if it's NBC saying, like,
we need more time, your show has high ratings, let's get more,
Then it's kind of handcuffing them, we wrote this, now we have to put an extra 9 minutes in?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case, honestly. Yeah. It's like watching it, it's just like, you did have the extra time. And
like,
you
maybe all that
it.
Toby. Kelly and Ryan stuff.
No,
was
I liked it.
I liked it, but like that seems like something that might have been thrown in, you know, secondhand.
It was funny shit.
he's a genius.
Overall, I think this, and it's also interesting to keep seeing Jan because, like, when her and Michael are alone, she's a fucking lunatic. But like in a business setting,
she's
like,
so professional. She hits a switch. Like,
yeah, it's actually the way she plays a crazy person mixed with like nice business professional Jan is actually really fun to watch.
Yes.
So I'm a big fan of Jan. I'm a big fan of most of these characters, to be honest. So I like this episode a lot. Not as much, you didn't like as much as me, but hey.
It is what it is. I like the last one more than you, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you
did. But it might just be because of how deep we dive into them. I mean,
we're getting everything.
Yeah, I'm watching the first one a lot more intensive. Like, I watched the first one once, pausing, taking notes, and then I watch it again.
To
watch it in full, throw some extra notes in there that I may have missed the first time.
Same
thing. Like, the servants. I missed that the first time. Mm-hmm. I caught that the second time. But, you know, I may have just liked it more because I was more into that one.
No, that's fair. Yeah. There's different things for... I've realized that me and Mare Bear have different takes on a lot of things. What we like... Like, I like more absurdist humor.
Yeah.
She's more...
I just do something really absurd.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. It's pretty out there.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. But overall, these are some good episodes. We're coming to the end of season 3. I think there's only 5 episodes left or something like that.
I don't look ahead.
Me and Mare Bear, I think there's 23. So me and Mare Bear will do 19 and 20, and then we're probably going to end up doing 3 episodes in the last...
that's going to be a long pod.
It's going to be a long podcast, but it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
I could see what
are you looking?
Yeah, I'm going to look up what those episodes are for you.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to tell everybody, once again, you can reach out to us, follow us on Twitter, at BrosisPodcast, and if you want to get in touch with the show, send us an email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Me and Mary are still kicking around the Twitter poll if we should get a Facebook page. I don't know if we're actually going to go through with it. Again, it's like us going on Apple Podcasts. We're just kind of dragging our feet on these things. But also, while you're at it, check out our partners at placetobenation.com. They have tons of articles, content, lots of podcasts, you know, for pretty much anything you know, movies, sports, television, wrestling, comics, all that stuff. You can find anything you want there. Lots of good content. And I think that's pretty much everything. Just share the show around, guys. If you have friends or anything like that who you think would enjoy the show, just tell them about it and share the link and let them know about us. If they like us, they like us. If they don't, they don't. But we'd like to, you know, continue growing the show. And if you guys would help us out, that would be great. We would appreciate it so much.
I mean, you could think of a possible growth so far that they need a third person. you know, maybe...
You're a growth all right.
Yeah. There is 23 episodes in the season, so it is going to be maybe a possible 3-episode season finale, so maybe you'll need that third
person. We'll talk about
it. In the booth.
Okay, in the booth. You'll be the JR to Mary and me, Vince and Jerry. All right.
But the episodes that Mary and Kevin are going to be doing coming up, episode 19 is safety training.
Sounds high.
And episode 20 is product recall, which I remember very good to you.
I don't remember either.
I think you're going to like that one.
Okay. See, this is the thing. Every week, Mary's like, remember this one? And I'm like... Kind of.
I remember.
Like, some of them, I'm just like, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
No, I understand. But, definitely share the podcast. I love seeing my family do different things, get out. They're putting themselves out there for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Didn't think it'd get this far, to be quite honest.
This is episode 23.
Yeah, I'm proud of them getting this far. Thought they would have gave up on it, but they didn't. And they got this great,
partnership with Place to Be Nation.
With Place to Be, which is awesome for them, and I wish them the best of luck in their future endeavors.
He's doing that bonding thing he learned about at the cocktail party right now. He really wants to be back. But and he probably will be. But anyway, we will be back next week with those episodes. And until then, guys, we'll catch you later.